Thanks for tuning in to the All Things Melanin podcast.
Be sure to subscribe, like this week's episode, and share with a friend.
Now let's get into this week's episode.
Hi, I'm Shelby.
And I'm Erica.
And welcome to the All Things Melanin podcast, where your certified hype women are getting you through the week.
Be sure to subscribe so you'll never miss an update.
Erica.
Hey, girl. Hey.
What's good? What's popping? What's happening? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling, you know, I ain't got no complaints. Like, I'm just good. I don't know. How are you?
Girl, I'm chilling. I'm good. I have been, just a little update from our past podcast. So your girl has still been actively interviewing. So put some positive vibes into the universe. But also, I am prepping to go to my friend's wedding in Jamaica. So I'm super excited. Hence why your girl is braided all the way up. You know, a good indication that Black people are going on vacation is when they get those knotless or those box braids or those twists or those locks. So your girl is ready. And then I'm also prepping in the same week to go to celebrate my best friend's 30th birthday. So all of the prayers and the energy sent my way would be great. But I'm excited. I'm good.
Yay.
But friend, I have a really serious question. Like, super serious. Like,
oh,
and
God.
Just know that, like, how you answer this question, like, your Black card could be on the line. Are you ready?
Ciao.
So recently me and some of my other friends were just having conversations about like heartthrobs from the 90s, particularly Black men. Cause you know, me and Erica, we love, even y'all be acting crazy. We love Black men and we gonna love us a Black man one day, but that's to be determined. But anyway, that's to be determined. But anyway, friend. Okay. So here's the question. Are you ready?
No.
Who are your top three 90s heartthrobs that are Black men? One to three, with three being the second runner up and one being number one and two being the first runner up. You get what I'm saying? Okay, go.
Okay. Let me think. 90s. I love 90s music. So I'm just going to, my first thing would be, if I'm thinking about music, let's go with Ginuwine. Damn. Ooh, I used to like some pretty boys with the good hair, you know what I'm talking about.
That's a good one. He was fine.
Do you want me to name all of mine, or are you gonna name your third one?
No, go ahead. Give me your whole.
Okay, number two. Coming in at number two, and he's still fine. Yeah. Lorenz Tate.
Hey, that's a good one.
When he was in Love Jones, just something about it. He could have got everything he wanted from me. He just don't age. He just looks great. Number one, Tupac. That baby is so fine to me. The thuggish, but the poetic, but the like, just something about him. I can't even. Those would be my three. Ginuwine, Lorenz Tate, Tupac. Who you got?
Okay. That's a really good list for you. That's a good list. I didn't know what you was going to say, but that's a good list. I feel like Erica knows who my number one is, so we're going to see if she get it right.
I do.
Okay. Coming in at number three, Tupac. Because that man is fine. It's his voice. It's the skin. Mm-hmm. It's the swag. It's everything for me. So Tupac, number three, coming in hot. Number two, y'all, hear me out. It's a tie, okay? I know those weren't the rules, but these are my rules. It's a tie. And the tie is between, I'm telling y'all, Google these people and literally put such and such in the 90s. It's a tie between Montel Jordan and Mike Gibbs, because both of those babies are fine. Please look them up. I'm not telling no lies, okay? I'm telling you the truth. And if you don't agree, you got bad taste. Anyway, and coming in hot. At number one, if you know me, you already know. And if you don't, you about to know. Baby, number one on the list is Omar Epps. Let me tell you. Omar Epps in the 90s in Love and Basketball and yeah. Juice and all those other movies? Because when that man would have told me Double or Nothing, sir.
Yeah.
Sir. Yes. Sir. That man was so fine. Like, I just Google Omar Epps in the 90s. I may tell you, two things I'm never going to lie to you about. Black men and food. That man was fine. Erica, did you get my number one right?
Yes, I knew that was what you were going to say. Yes. But you know who still looks good that's on your list is Montel Jordan. He still looks really good. He be on them Uber Eats commercials. Still singing, this is how we do.
I was screaming.
But he still looks really good. Just like Lorenz Tate still looks good. Genuine still looks good. Omar, he looked good in the 90s. 90s.
You know, he didn't, you know, he has he's aged pretty good. He didn't age as well as Lorenz, but you know, the 90s was that baby's time. I'm telling you, know what? I'm gonna have to watch Love and Basketball after this, because that man in that movie, the skin, the lips, the swag, all of it.
You know, since you had two on your number two, I'm gonna give you another one on mine. Cause I did have him, but I erased him. Mekhi Phifer in the 90s was so fine to me. He was so fine. These days, but the 90s, look him up. Mekhi Phifer. He had that kind of like roughneck type of thing. I don't know what it is with me and thugs. Like,
I don't either. And no, in real life, that is not what you want. So I'm trying to figure out what is going on.
I don't know.
Okay, here's one. Okay, so we did the 90s. So let's do present day. Erica, if you know me, you already know what mine is. It has not changed. It has been very consistent. I think I know who Erica's is. But who is your present day heartthrob?
Present day...
Can I guess? I think I know who yours is. Can I guess?
Yeah, you can guess.
Michael B. Jordan.
That's who I was gonna say. Yeah, he's yeah. You know, one of my friends, like a couple years ago, was like, "Oh, you know who you would look really cute with?" And I'm like, "Who?" Talking about some Big Sean. I'm like, "I think
no,
cute, but like, no. What about you?
Mine coming in hot is the same person it has been. Forever and a day. I hope I say this baby's name right. But y'all, black women, y'all know. Kofi Sarabi. That man.
Yes.
Is so fine.
Yes. He is.
And that's all I gotta say.
He'll be fine forever. You know, I was just watching. Sorry, we just keep going down a whole rabbit hole. But, you know, I was watching something on Hulu. I forgot the name of it. It was a terrible movie. And they put a terrible wig on this baby. But Trevante... Is that his name?
He's cute. He's really cute. I know who you're talking about.
I can't remember his last name, but he is so fine. But they put a horrible wig. He played Mike Tyson on some Hulu series, if y'all don't know who I'm talking about.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, you know who else is fine? Okay, this is the last person I'm going to say, I promise. Because I watched an interview with him on YouTube from The Breakfast Club. And I hope I say his last name correctly. If I don't, I'm sorry. Tyler Lipley.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that man. Yes.
He is fine.
He is very fine. Like, he just wake up fine. Like, you, like Kofi, they just wake up fine. Like, you don't have to do nothing.
And me and Erica have seen Kofi and Michael B. Jordan in person. They fine in real life. Like, that ain't no editing. Like,
no.
That's real life fine. But I'm gonna stop there because I'm not telling our business like that. Anyway, Erica, I'm going to the next segment.
Okay, we'll keep it moving. Let's get into our dating and relationship segment. So Shelby, this is gonna be really good. I got a couple of different questions, so it's gonna be kind of layered, but this is centered around the topic of Ciara. She just released a teaser for her new song called For the Girls, which is actually celebrating independent women, right? So I'm going to read to you what the chorus and the lyrics say, so everybody who has not heard it can understand what I'm talking about. So the lyrics go, this is for the girls getting money. This is for the girls who don't need no man. This is for the girls who love yourself. This is for all the girls who up and did it by themselves. This is for the girls that's independent. This is for the girls that are living stress-free. This is for all the girls on a mission like me. But Ciara is getting so much backlash for this. People are calling her a hypocrite, saying on Twitter, and I quote, we're tired of being independent, sis. We want a life like yours. Please stop promoting this type of music when you're going straight home to get loved on. So my question to you, Shelby, is number one, the first question is, do you agree or disagree with the comments about her song? And then I'll ask another follow-up question.
Okay. So, so the first part of the question. So when you wrote this question, friend, I have to actually go see what you were talking about because I did not see this on Twitter. I haven't really been on social like that. And I actually went and listened to the snippet of the song. And so what I will say is the song sounds cute or whatever. And honestly, I don't mean that in a rude way, but it's cute. Like, I feel like she was trying to go for like a Meg Thee Stallion, like a hot girl vibe. And that's not what it's giving. It's giving very much like pop, teenage, junior high type thing. Like, it's not giving City Girls or like Meg Thee Stallion. That's the first thing. But honestly, I get what she's trying to do. So I will say this, I feel like she's entitled and free to make music about whatever she wants to. And maybe she's referencing a time when she was in this position and, you know, she was feeling empowered and independent. But in my opinion, it seems like she's trying to capitalize off the hot girl movement when that's not the stage of life that she's in. And since that's not the stage of life that she's in, I don't believe a word of this song. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't, you know, listen to it one day with the top back, the windows down, and jammy, but I'm not going to take it seriously. Like, I'm not going to listen to it when I'm going out with my girls and we about to, you know, like, go out and be cute and, you know, do whatever hot girls do. That's the first part. I think that a lot of times, just in general, we both know that music has the power to like shift society and culture and our views. But I feel like personally, I'm in a like season of my life where I listen to various types of music in general, and it don't really shape my views and like what I feel and what I see, just because I'm very sure of myself and what I want in life. But I feel like it does it for a lot of people. And honestly, I want Ciara to hang it up, at least the music part. And I don't mean that in a rude way, but first of all, the best song, in my opinion, that she ever has, she will not sing it anymore because she made it with Future. And if you know me, you know, I stand by this, Body Party. Body Party is the best song that she has. Also, I know the one she had with Missy Elliott, Lose Control, that was really good. Okay, and Ludacris. But I'm saying, in my opinion, Body Party is the best song that she has. And I just honestly feel like, I feel like Ciara is trying to like figure out where she fits in music, because I feel like she genuinely loves to do music, but I feel like she doesn't like the type of music that she wants to do. We're not taking her seriously because you can't really relate to this, because this is not the point of life that you're in. And so I'm not really going to take you seriously. So I feel like I'm a side with Black Twitter, because I know those words and those sayings came from Black Twitter. I think she should hang it up. But like I said, I think that she's entitled to release whatever she wants to release. But I do think that music does shape our views. But this song, we don't need another independent woman song. If we do need one, I'm not saying, this one ain't it. Like, I wouldn't turn this on and be like, I am feeling empowered, I'm independent, I'm paying my bills, I'm doing XYZ. I'm more, not to be funny, I'm more likely to turn on Destiny's Child independent or Webby's independent than this independent. And I stand by that.
Well, I think for me, Like, I was actually surprised about how much backlash that she did get from it. I'm like, why are we taking this so serious? Like, to me, it's just entertainment. Like, if we think about rappers, a lot of them rapping about stuff they don't actually do. So it's like, I actually, you know, I liked what I heard of the snippet, and then I kept scrolling. Like, I'm not looking at, like, oh, Sierra, like, you going home and Russell rubbing your feet, but you trying to, like, I'm not doing all that. And then another thing, too, is that, like, we can't fault her for putting that music out when she still is an independent woman. Like, when I think of an independent woman, I mean, you still have your own identity outside of your husband. And so I think that that's what I like about her, is that, you know, we knew who Sierra was before she met Russell. Now, don't get me wrong, she did upgrade and she did level up when she married him, which you should. But let's not forget, she was Sierra regardless. Nobody is looking at her like, oh yeah, that's Russell Wilson's wife. Like, no, everybody's like, that's Sierra. Like, she's still independent, but putting that music out, like you just kind of mentioned, Destiny's Child, like, people are not faulting Beyonce when she out here singing Single Ladies, Me, Myself, and I, independent women, the whole time she going home to Jay-Z and her three babies. So it's just like, what is the difference? So I just don't understand why people are just coming at her so hard. But like, yeah, like, Sierra could just model, she could dance, she could just, you know, be a mom or whatever, but the music, I ain't really taking it serious. But, so my second question, about this, Shelby, is, so when it comes to dating, since we already kind of talked about, like, how music is shaping this view, but when it comes to dating, do you think there's a certain narrative about independent women? If so, what do you
think? I do. Honestly, Freya, I think that, and I'm really interested to see what you think, but I honestly think, I think independent women get a bad rep, or rap, or however you say it, but I feel like most women are independent because they have to be, not because they want to be. And I say that because I feel like a lot of women just are so used to, like, people, like, dropping the ball or not doing what they say they're gonna do and just having to, like, pick up the slack themselves. And I feel like a lot of times when, like, you know, women, like, meet their partner or their significant other, I think that sometimes people think that when you get with somebody that you're just automatically gonna turn being independent off. Absolutely not. Like, it does not work like that. And I feel like even if you have, like, a good partner or a good man or a good significant other or a partner, or however you want to say it, like, you're never going to be able to turn, like, your independent off.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And I feel like there's such a negative, like, a negative narrative around independent women, but I don't feel like people stop and ask, okay, like, what situation or scenarios in life has this person had to live where she's had to be independent and carry it all? And another thing that I just want to point out, and I can't speak for all women, I can only speak for myself, and I feel like I've had conversations with lots of women, is, like, have you ever, I want to have people that say negative, that, like, independent women are horrible and blah, blah, blah. Like, have you ever sat and just thought about, like, why are they independent? Like, what have they had to carry? What have they had to pick up? What, like, what did they have to do to make ends meet? And honestly, as someone who has been single for so long and who is such an independent person and haven't, let me tell you, my single identity, I have it. And I even shared this with Erica. And I said, when I meet somebody and I start seriously dating somebody, it's going to be very hard for me to mesh with somebody, because I'm such an independent person and I've been by myself so long. And so when I meet somebody, I'm not just going to be able to turn that off. Like, that is going to take some time. And if you think about it, like, even when I get in a relationship and stuff like that, I don't think that I'm going to turn my independence off. I feel like I will dial it back. But I'm not going to turn it off. And that's just because, like, I like having my own thoughts and my own mind and doing things for myself and being able to support myself. But, you know, when I meet the right person, like, I am going to respect that that person is supposed to, you know, lead me and have a vision and goals for our life. But even when I get in a partnership, a partnership, I don't want one of those partnerships where, and, you know, to each his own, where you just tell me what to do and you want me to do it because that's not my personality and I'm not going to do it. Like, that's the first thing. Like, when I think of, like, a relationship or a partnership, I think of, like, me and somebody sitting there and, like, being on the same page about our goals, our visions, and what we want out of life. that the person that's leading me, like, coming up with the plan, if they take everything that we said into consideration, and then us, like, doing it together. Honestly, I think that, I feel like I'm rambling, so I'm just going to keep going, but I'm going to wrap it up. Honestly, I think that independent women do get a bad rap, but I think that you should not signal independent women out. I think that if you come across a woman that's independent, like if you actually sat down and had a conversation with her, you would see that she's not trying to be the man. She's not trying to lead, and she's not trying to overpower you. She's just doing what she has to do to survive, to pay her bills, and to get by. And you would probably find that, like, if she's into you and you do what you say you're going to do and you show up and you lead her and you're honest and you're open and you're transparent and you love her properly and you listen to her and you make her feel safe, that woman is going to relax a lot. She's going to relax a lot and she's going to let you have it. Because let me tell you, I'm tired of being independent. I don't want to lead. I don't want to figure all this stuff out. I don't want to have a plan. On a scale of 1 to independent, I want to be like a 4, okay? I want to reel it way the fuck back. But I can't do that if I don't have somebody that I can trust. And I think a lot of it comes down to, even in relationships, in my opinion, if a woman is being like overly independent of her man, she don't trust him. That woman does not trust him to lead her. She does not trust his plan. She does not trust his vision. And she do not trust him. Now, she like him. She may like him. She may love him. She may want to be with him for the rest of his life. But she does not trust him. And I feel like, here's game, man. If your woman is being overly independent, overly controlling, not trusting you, not valuing, that woman don't trust you to lead her. That woman don't trust you to make a plan for her. And in her mind, she said, my man ain't got it, so I got to do it for him.
Yeah. That's facts. I hope y'all wrote that down, dudes. But I love the point that you said. Sometimes, you know, what other choice do we have? And I'm saying we because we are independent women. What other choice do we have but to be independent? And I don't actually understand where this narrative comes from, because to me, independent is like you are a functioning adult taking care of your adult responsibility all by yourself without relying on anyone or any man to do it. Like, I don't understand why that's something. So like this narrative is created, but I think an example of the type of narrative that has been created is that independent women don't submit. So I'm gonna take it a little further. When we were kind of talking about how men don't, or how she won't trust you if she doesn't trust you to lead or whatever. So here's the thing. I think a lot of us would submit not only if we could trust you, but if we could trust who you are submitting to. This is important because I want my husband or my future husband to lead, of course. Like you said, Shelby, like, just let me relax. Let me put my feet up on the dash, okay? Let me just not worry about what we're going on Google Maps. Like, let me just relax. And so I would want him to lead, but I got to know, who are you being led by? You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, a lot of men will be, yeah, I'm the man. I'm trying to lead. You know what I'm saying? No, but who are you submitting to? Meaning for me, for my future husband, as for me in my house, if he wants to lead our household, I got to know, is he being led by God? Okay. Is he submitting to where God is telling him to lead our household, our family, you know, or are you just out here just making stuff up? Like, yeah, I'm the man. You need to do what I say. Like, no, that's not how we're going to do it. And I think it's very true that if we don't trust you, we ain't submit to you. So, like I said, independent women, I think that that is a good thing and it should be celebrated. But I don't think that it should be we should be looked down upon when we are in situations where that's all we have to be. And so, but I, like you, Shelby, being independent for so long, it will honestly be an adjustment for me to let somebody want to do something for me. I have to be able to be, like you said, feel safe enough to rely on that person, because I know that I'm a dependable person, a reliable person. I'll do what I say I'm going to do. I'll take care of things like I say I am. But can I rely on him to do that? And like I kind of mentioned on another podcast before, the mindset, like if this man's mindset is crazy or it's off, I can't get behind that. The way you think, I can't, you ain't leading us to hell. Absolutely not. So that's what I would say about this narrative. I think independence is beautiful. I think if I end up having a daughter, I'm going to teach her to be independent. I don't want no codependent man. So I think it needs to be two independent people coming together and working together. I don't understand why there's such this negative like connotation around independent women.
I think, sorry, I was just going to add something to what you said because it made me think of something. When you say you don't see why people have like a negative connotation about it. So I'm going to say the statement and you tell me what you think. I think from my point of view and in my opinion, I feel like people tend not to like independent women because independent women are not easily controlled or influenced. Like independent women tend to have their own thoughts, ideologies, and how and ways of doing things. For instance, as an independent woman, I like to do things a certain way. Erica knows. Like, I like things a certain way. I'm going to do things a certain way. Like, there are some things Erica will be like, you know what, friend, you got it. That's just you. But I will say that, like, if my partner came to me and he was like, hey, I know you do things this way or you like to do things this way, but I think that we should do it this way. Like, if I trust my man, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm gonna let you have it. Let's see. Like, I would be open to trying it. But I think a lot of people don't like independent women, like I said, because they can be easily influenced. And you can't, like, pull the wool over their heads and you can't control them. And I think that a lot of people want to control their partner. And I think Lauren London said it in a podcast, and I'm paraphrasing. I hope that I don't butcher whatever she said. But basically, she was saying, you don't own people, you experience people. And when she said that, that really changed my point of view. Because if you think about it, when you like somebody, you be like, that's my man or that's my person. Now, don't get it twisted. When I get a man, it's going to be my man all the time. Okay? Like, don't get it twisted. But I say that in a playful way. But I think a lot of people, when they get a partner, they're so possessive over the person and they want to own the person and control the person. But I think that if we start to think about experiencing people, like, just having them in our life and enjoying them and taking them for who they are and how they make us feel, I feel like that would take a lot of pressure off of the independent woman conversation, if that makes sense. Like, that made sense in my head.
Yeah, and I remember when Lauren London said that, and that is so true. And I think that it that's why Shelby and I always talk about how important it is to whoever you choose to do life with. That is the like most important decision of your life, especially as a woman and you're relying on this man to lead. You want to make sure, like I said, that he is being led by God and things like that. So for me, I think being independent, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Like, I mean, yes, I'm tired of doing everything by myself. But then on the other end, it's like, I'm glad that I can do everything by myself right now. That's the season that I'm in. And so when I do have a partner, it's going to be an adjustment, but I'm going to make sure that I can feel safe enough to, you know, follow behind his lead.
Yeah.
So I think that was really good, but let's go ahead and move on to our next segment, which is the journey. So this is when Shelby and I will touch on what have we learned during building our brand. So let's talk about consistency. So they always say consistency is key. So what are some ways we stay consistent with building our brand?
When I think about it, there are two like small things that come to my mind when I think about consistency. I think consistency is showing up when you don't feel like it. Like, one thing that I've learned when building a brand or building a business or, you know, trying to get something off the ground is like, when you start out doing something, you're going to be like overly excited to do it. You're going to be eager. You're going to be like, I'll do it. I'll jump on it. This is my thing. But once like weeks and months or even years to go, start to go by, like the shininess of it and the eagerness of it starts to fade and life gets the life in. And so I think a key to being consistent is to show up when you don't feel like it, because I feel like consistency is a habit. And in order to create a habit, you have to keep doing it. You got to do it when you're sad. You got to do it when you're mad. You got to do it when you're unhappy or when you're not feeling it. Because if you create it as a muscle, then it's not as easy for you to fall off. And then the other thing that I find that is key to consistency when building a brand is to set aside dedicated time to do the to
to do a task or to do something that needs to be done. Because a lot of times when you're building a brand, you have so many different factors that you're factoring in, you know, that are happening in life. You know, maybe you're married, maybe you're dating, you're probably working a 9-to-5. Maybe you have children. Maybe you have like other responsibilities with volunteering or taking care of a parent. Maybe, you know, you love to exercise. And so when you have all of these things that are competing with your time, I am such a planner. So I have to plan everything. If it is not in my phone calendar, it is not going to happen and I am not going to remember it. So I think another key to being consistent and building your brand is to set aside dedicated time for your brand and dedicated time to do a task. Because I feel like when you schedule it and you plan it, then you're showing yourself that you're committed to doing it. What about you, friend? What do you think?
Yeah, I think what works for us too that I could add is we actually schedule, when we schedule or when we set goals, we always put a date on it. And I think a lot of people just list a whole bunch of goals or, yeah, I'm going to put this on my schedule, but they don't actually solidify it with the date. That's like really important to keep yourself on track. But then also, as far as Shelby and I, like, we split up duty. So it's like not everything's on her, but not everything's on me, and not everything's on her. So it's like splitting up some tasks. But if you don't have anybody to split up those tasks with, take breaks when you need to. And Shelby and I also do that too. Like, if we know, like, look, we just recorded the whole season of podcasts, like, let's take a break for whatever amount of time and then come back to it, because that does two things. You feel refreshed when you come back and you have a lot to talk about on the podcast when you come back. So it's important to recognize when you want to take those breaks, whether it's just to relax or, like you said, Shelby, kind of do things that are also on your schedule that have been competing for your time. Also, what I could add is make sure you celebrate your small wins. I think that that's important, because sometimes if we're just working and we're not taking time to realize, hey, look at these milestones I've accomplished or that I've done, that can kind of be your booster to be like, you know what, I am doing the right thing, or yeah, this consistency is working, I am seeing progress. Another thing too is if you don't already have an accountability partner, get one. Get somebody that's going to be on you about, hey, did you schedule that content today? Hey, did you post like you said you were today, or whatever it is? Get somebody to hold you accountable for the things that you say you're going to do when you're going to do it. So those would be the things that I would add as far as consistency. And I think one thing I've learned just with our brand is that, like, consistency is better than is good, because you can see the progress instead of everybody's just trying to hurry up and get to the destination. Like, oh, we see all these great things that we want to do for our brand, but it's really about the journey. That's why we have this whole entire segment. It's about the journey and not necessarily where you're trying to get to. So let's go ahead and move on to our mentor moment. So this is when we will read a listener's letter that was submitted to us, and then we will give our advice on it. So the letter reads, "Hi, Shelby and Erica, I need your advice on this. I want to turn my side hustle into my main source of income. Right now, I work a 9-to-5 job that pays my bills, and I am a makeup artist on the side, which is my passion. I love doing makeup, and one day I want to be a celebrity makeup artist with my own line of products. I am starting to get burned out trying to juggle both my job and my side hustle. What is your advice on how I can make the transition so that I am living my life doing what I love to do?"
Yeah. So this is what I would say. I would say, so obviously you know what, like, your ultimate goal is, right? Like, you want to be a full-time makeup artist with products and different things like that. So now I think that since you know your end goal and you know where you want to end, you have to back up and, like, from point A, determine what steps do you need to take to get to your end goal. So I think a good place to start is to, okay, so obviously your 9-to-5 is paying your bills. One thing me and Erica always say, no matter what you do, these bills gonna keep coming. So you wanna make sure that you can pay these bills, because they don't care if you're an entrepreneur, they don't care if you're trying to get off the ground. They want to be paid, or they are coming to collect their money. So I would say the first thing is take like inventory of your finances to see how much money you're bringing in currently. Like how much money are you bringing in for your 9-to-5, as well as how much money are you bringing into your side hustle. Also take inventory of like how much money you're bringing into your side hustle, as well as how many hours you're currently putting in. Okay, so once you do that, I would say see how much money you're gonna need to survive to go all in. So I personally am not an advocate of just up and quitting your job to do your side hustle, because life be lifing and anything could happen. But I would say that if that's something that you're wanting to do and that's something that you're passionate about, then I would say figure out how much money you would need to survive and to live comfortably in order to get your dream off the ground and to like go all in. So what does that look like? Does that mean like saving up a year's worth of salary to go all in? Does that mean, you know, moving in with your parents or getting a roommate? Does that mean, you know, having a more strict schedule so you can do more makeup on the side so you can get your inventory in? I think like the first step to figuring out how you transition to the life that you want is to figure out what do you need to get there and how much money you need to have saved in order to live comfortably to support yourself.
Yes. And what I can add to that, well, first of all, I want to say congrats to you for finding your passion and going for it. I see you've been following all things melanin because we always tell you to do that. But I will say create a roadmap or plan to give yourself X amount of time to actually make that transition. So along with what Shelby said, when it comes to your finances, make sure that you do have that financial plan and how much you know, obviously need to save before you go full time. But also what I could add to that is once you have a plan in place, it's important to pray over it. You never know, God could open doors for you to transition you sooner than you think. I would never want to recommend anybody just abruptly leaving their 9-to-5. I will always say leverage your 9-to-5 as much as you can if it is your main source of income right now. So putting that financial plan together is important since you have that resource. So along the lines of that, I would say once you decide that you want to go full time with your makeup artistry and you can't transition yet, maybe look up some makeup studios in your area that are hiring independent makeup artists. And maybe you can start doing that part time to kind of get your feet wet and kind of already start making those connections and networking. So you'll build your client base while you're still working your 9-to-5. And that can kind of help you get ahead. So overall, I would just say plan ahead as much as possible and give yourself a transition date. That would be my advice. So if you have a question out there that you want us to answer, don't be shy. Send us an email to allthingsmelanintv@gmail.com or slide in our DMs on IG at allthingsmelanin__. So today we're going to leave you with words of encouragement, which comes from Isaiah 55:8-9. And it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declared the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." So this is a verse that I've been reading this week, so I thought I'd share. And what I've been learning from it is that at times when we start to get impatient with the process or the wait for whatever it is that you're praying about, we have to remember that His thoughts and ways are higher than ours. And so I heard this at church the other day when our pastor said that God is so strategic to where He has a 400-year plan. So if you think about that, that means that God plans generationally. We out here thinking situationally. We out here praying about next week, and we can't understand why He ain't brought my husband next this week. You know what I mean? But he thinks so much bigger. So basically, if you can receive this, he is saying that he is planning for your descendants. So if you think about that, it's like God has already has your life planned out. So it's like, and it's bigger. And it, like Shelby and I always say, if your dreams don't scare you, they ain't big enough. That type of thing. And so it's like, we may not get the answer that week, or we wonder why God hasn't done it yet, but it's because he works bigger than what we can imagine, and he works strategically. And it's not all about us. It's about the generation and the legacy that we're going to leave. So I wanted to share that, hoping that that little excerpt blesses somebody, because it blessed me. What do you think, Shelby?
First of all, that blessed me. So thank you. I really needed that. But I just have like two super small things and two super small thoughts to add to that, because you explained that so beautifully. And like I said, you blessed me because I needed that word for myself. It makes me think of two things, like that particular voice verse, is that only God can supply what we need. And I think that a lot of times when we're in need of things, then we start to think, we start to allow our thoughts to run rapid, and we make up all of these scenarios in our head. And a lot of times we try to figure out ways how we can get what we want, when God doesn't want us to like lean on our own understanding. He wants us to lean on him and to depend on him and to come to him. And then the second and last thing is that when our thoughts or focus isn't on God, that we often miss what God is trying to tell us. And when I say that, I'm really talking about myself, because a lot of times I will make up a whole scenario in my head and go with whatever I come up with. And I'm starting to realize, or I'm in a season of life where I just feel like God is really just trying to tell me or show me or get me to understand and know that, like, he doesn't want me to lean on my understanding. He doesn't want me to lean on my own thoughts. And he don't even want me to come up with all these scenarios in my head. He just wants me to put my thoughts and focus on him. That's the only two things that I have to add.
Love that. So let's go ahead and bow our heads so we can pray. If you drive and do not bow your head, just sway with it. We just gonna keep it cute. Okay, so dear God, we just come to you not asking you for anything. If we don't ever ask you for anything ever again, you've done enough. So we just want to thank you. We come to you with full gratitude, not to ask you, but thank you for everything. Thank you for all that the things that you have done are working for our good. Thank you that your ways are higher than our thoughts and our ways. Thank you that you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine. Thank you that you are a good God and always have a good plan for each of our lives. Thank you that you have continued grace, continued love, continued protection over us as we continue to trust and rest in you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen.
Amen.